in Bangladesh, and they're asked, is this well water safe for this family to drink? And we tell them that the World Health Organization says that 10 micrograms per liter of arsenic is safe drinking water. Is this water safe? And if they look at the solution analyzer, no place does it tell them how many grams of arsenic are in this sample. It tells them how many moles of arsenic is in the sample. So, and even to answer the first question, they have to be able to convert from molarity to micrograms per liter. Again, they can do that with a little tutored problem solving. If it's clear that they're just struggling and don't know how to do it, the system recommends that they go into a just-in-time learning experience, which walks them through, explains how to do the dimensional analysis, gives them worked examples and tutored problem solving, and then when they've got that, they go back into the scenario, where they then look at a solution that a Bangladeshi chemist came up with of using local clays to create a filtration system. But since it's a local clay, the absorptive capacity of the clay varies, so to figure out how often a family would need to change their filter, they have to then look at the absorptive capacities of the clays. So the whole scenario is worked through using chemistry for real-world problem solving. And so what you see here is, as this is what we talk about, the feedback, changing the ability of the learner. So as the learner is working through these scenarios, they're getting immediate context-specific feedback. And you can see that from the short things I've shown you. What you can't see is part of what Michael pointed out, that while the students are interacting with these environments, they're getting the feedback, but the other critical thing that's happening is our system is collecting every interaction that student is doing. Every time they ask for a hint, every time the system gives them feedback, every time they move something in the virtual lab. And we use that data to provide feedback not just to the learner, but to someone else who's really important in the educational process, to the instructor. And this is what we call our instructor learning dashboard. So as a student's working through the material, so this is out of our statistics course, and I chose this one because there are actually faculty at the University of Illinois at Chicago that are using our statistics course to support their teaching of statistics in nursing. And so as the students are working through the material, the instructor can bring up this module. This is the instructor view, and they see for this module, these are the learning outcomes we've articulated for the students to achieve. And that bar over there gives me a quick snapshot of where is my class at this point in time in their knowledge state. And the instructor can click on that bar and expand it and say, that bar is made up of students. And so the students that are in green, what we're saying is our model would predict that those students, if you gave them an assessment today that exercised that outcome, they would nail it. The students in orange, their learning's kind of moderate. The students in red, those students are working, but they are lost. What about the students in gray? Anybody got a clue about what that means? Yeah, they haven't done enough work we haven't collected enough interactions to make any kind of reliable prediction. So the instructor can click down and see that. They can also click in further and say, who are those students? Now, for FERPA reasons, since this is a real screenshot, I've removed their names. But the instructor would get to see who are the students that are in that, that learning predictive area, and how many activities have they done that are driving that prediction. They can also click in further and say, for each student, where is each student then on each of those outcomes? And what is their performance on the outcome and all the activities that are feeding that outcome? So that I can drill down by student. I can also drill down by knowledge state, but I won't go into that in so much detail. I'm going to do that too. And this brings us to what the affordances really are of this technology. When you ask someone, how can online technology be useful to higher education? You'll usually get one of three answers. You'll get the first one, access. Students can learn anytime, any place, and it's convenient. Or you'll get the second one, which is the simulation power. We can create things using technology to show students things that we can't show them in the real classroom. You know, molecular interactions at a nanoscale. We can let them construct bridges and collapse them without killing anyone. So there are many learning experiences we can use the technology to create that are hard to do